So good afternoon, everybody. I am very happy to have Michael and his family in our midst. I didn't know him before and didn't know the family before, but I met them in Kamenice 2 weeks ago, and from what I've seen and heard, he's a nice guy. They're a nice family and faithful to the Lord, so it's always good to have them in our midst. And of course, the one thing that he can't help is that he is Irish, but we will forgive him. And also, we are very happy to have Bianca today in our midst. Michael and I have had a good conversation last week with Bianca, and she has expressed her desire to serve the Lord, and she regrets the things that have occurred in the past, and so let us be there for her, and let us encourage her, and let us accept her as our family member, and treat her well. Today I want to talk about a lesson that we will draw from Galatians chapter 6. We saw in Numbers chapter 20 in our scripture reading that something happened to Moses and Aaron. God told them, when the people were complaining, he told them, tell the rock to give the water. And Moses and Aaron, what did they do? They were not pleased with the annoying attitude of the Israelites, and they struck the rock. Now that did something with God. God was very displeased with the thing that Moses and Aaron did, and he said that that they did not have faith in him, that they did not trust him. And why? How did that show? Well, because of their disobedience to what God had said. And so the consequences of that one thing, we might say, okay, it's one thing, it's not a big deal. But the consequence was that we read at the end of the chapter that Aaron could not enter the promised land. And if you read on, you will see that even Moses, because of this, will not be allowed access to the promised land. So they did something, and it had a consequence. And that is something that I want to think about today with you, that thought. What we do has consequences in this life and eventually in the life after our death. Let us read in Galatians chapter 6. And I will read from the English Standard Version. We will read the first 10 verses. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 3. For if anyone thinks he is something, but he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived, verse 7. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he reap also. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Yesterday there was an article in the paper, and that article said that in Belgium we will have some serious problems at the end of this year when the winter comes. Now what happened is that we have several nuclear power plants, and two of them are in maintenance and one just got sabotaged, they think. So only one is working. Now we use too much power, and there is not enough power to be delivered, and especially in winter time. So we will have some serious problems. Now, that is the only problem that we have in Belgium, by the way. It still is the promised land. But imagine what would happen if we have no more electricity. If you plug in your cell phone to charge it, and it will not charge. I think this will be disastrous for the youth. They cannot play their iPhones anymore. They cannot play Angry Birds. Well, maybe a day or 2 days, and then it will stop because they cannot recharge their iPhones. Actually, calling will not be possible because everything that we use with the poles or the pillars, I don't know how you say that in English, but the transmission poles, they work by power too. We cannot watch television anymore. No more watching soccer, our favorite soccer team. Now, that is horrible for us who love soccer. I think in Ireland that would be a blessing if you cannot watch soccer anymore. But here it would be horrible. We like soccer here. But imagine, no heating anymore. Because gas, most people here use gas. The heater of gas works by electricity. Now, no more lights in traffic. Now, that might be a blessing too. No more running through the red lights. Everything is gone. We can just do whatever we want. Now, it will be chaos. Now, we expect things to happen. If we use our electricity, we wanted to do what we expected to do. And if it stops, we are completely disturbed. Now, there is a biblical principle to be found in this, with a spiritual application, and that is a thought that I want to share with you today. If we plug something into the electricity, we expect it to do something. But if it doesn't do something, what we expect it to do, then there is something wrong. And so, in our spiritual life, it is the same. God expects us to be somebody, to become somebody, to be transformed according to who He wants us to be. And if we do not change according to what He wants us to be, then there is a problem. And this problem, God, He sets consequences to our attitude. Now, we have read in Galatians chapter 6, that the Christians there also had some problems. And it is not for nothing that Paul had to address them, and he said, if there is somebody who transgresses, that is something that happens to all of us. We make mistakes. And so we would like for us to be restored in a spirit of gentleness and by a person who is spiritual himself or herself. So, but here were people apparently not doing and not treating one another as they ought to. We spoke last week about we are a church family and how we should be and take care of one another. So I'm not going too much into detail about this, but it says in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So in verse 3, he said something very important. If anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Sometimes we think something of ourselves, that we are something while we are not it, what we think we are. Sometimes if you see young guys trying to work out and they go stand in the mirror and they show their muscles and they after 2 weeks think that they have a muscle that is this big, it's not there, but they say to themselves, whoa, I am the man and I have muscles. But there is nothing there. They think more of themselves. Like, we can think about examples in our own life. And this is a problem that we as men deal with. We need to look at our lives through the eyes of God and not through our own eyes. Look in Galatians chapter 3 verse 1, where the Galatian Christians, they had a church, they had meetings, but they had some serious issues about the teaching that some false teachers came there and taught that they needed to fulfill the law of Moses, that they needed to be circumcised. And that was not the teachings of Paul, that was not the New Testament teachings, and so there was a lot of controversy in this church among these Christians. And chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." Look at chapter 4, verse 1, what Paul says. "I mean that the heir, as long as your child..." No, that is not the one. Verse 21 it should be. I'm sorry. Chapter 4, verse 21. "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law?" This was a problem there among the Christians. They wanted to be under the law. There were people who wanted others to become under the law, to put themselves under the law, and those who desired it themselves did not even listen to what the law says, as Paul will explain further. But look at chapter 5, verse 13, where Paul says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in this one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." These people had a relationship with God. These people did things that God wanted them to do. But there were things in their life that should not be there. And the consequences of that attitude were very serious, because they were in danger of losing their salvation. They were in danger of losing their soul. But how did they look at one another? How did they look at themselves? They didn't always see what was going on. They didn't always understand how their situation was. And so this is something very, very difficult for us as Christians to do. To dare to see at ourselves with the eyes as God sees us. That we dare to look at ourselves in a way that we are going to see what is there, what should not be there, and that we are going to accept that and work on it. Because in chapter 6, he says in verse 7, "Do not be deceived." Now, have you ever wondered why Paul would have to say to Christians, "Do not be deceived"? Because there is a real possibility that we deceive ourselves. That we look at ourselves in a way that God does not look at us. That God has a completely different way of looking at us. And we think it's not that bad. God will understand that I do what I do. And God will accept it if I do these things. Or if I behave in this way. Like the Galatians, Paul had to say, if you bite and devour one another, now that was a serious problem. But did they really were honest with themselves? Would they want to accept that and work on it and change it? Because the law of Christ said that you should love one another, that you should love your neighbor, and their attitude was not that what they ought to be doing. Now, there was a consequence to their misbehavior. And what was the consequence? In verse 7, "God is not mocked," Paul says. Now we know what mocking is. We see this often with little children. If somebody is different, or somebody different than us, or than them, they will try to ridicule these people. And they will try to speak with contempt, and speak with laughter, because, oh, they are not the same. They are mocking other people. And we know that the Bible describes ungodly people as mockers. They don't regard other people. They don't regard God. They don't think about God. They don't even want to consider what God has to say about certain things. Now here it says, Paul wants the Christians to understand, God is not mocked. God will not accept it if we do not consider whatever he has to say, whatever he thinks, whatever he wants. And Moses and Aaron is a good example of that. Moses is a man who is described in Hebrews who was faithful in all of his house. And yet look at that one instance when he did that and what the consequences was of that one instance. So we must not mistake God's patience and God's long-suffering for that God will accept everything that we do. We are dealing with a most holy God who is all loving, but he expects the Christians in Galatians to love one another, and they were not doing it. And they needed the apostle to correct the situation because the consequences would be very severe. Now, some people, and we meet them, maybe we shouldn't speak about some people. We should in the first place look at ourselves, of course. We sometimes see that this is a problem that we wrestle with. That we do not really consider, we are so caught up in daily life, we are so not filling our lives with spiritual things. And it's not always that we are doing sinful things, but we are just so busy with family, with work, with other things, and we do not fill our hearts with spiritual things. Now, what will be the consequence of that? Well, Paul said, for whatever, in verse 7, one sows, he will also reap. If we are sowing more the things of this world, if we are spending more and more time doing the things that this world is doing, if we are, how do I say this? If we are spending less time with church family, if we are spending less time reading the Bible, if we are spending less time reflecting, thinking about God and speaking about God to other people, and we are spending more time fulfilling our fleshly desires, what will be the thing then that we shall reap? The answer is very, very obvious. And yet, we catch ourselves too often that the spiritual becomes less and the fleshly becomes more. And it's not always in sinful things. Sometimes it is. If we look at the Galatians, they had some serious problems. If you look in verse 19, Paul describes the work of the flesh. It speaks about sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, and so he goes on. And I'm not saying that the Galatians were involved with all of these things, but even if there are one or two, sometimes we have the idea, oh, we come together as a church, that's a good thing. We don't commit fornication, very good. But we have envy in our heart. But that we don't speak about. It's not that obvious as one who is fornicating. Or it's not that confrontational. And so we neglect that. Or if we are the people who cause divisions among Christians. Oh, okay. But this is a work of the flesh. This is not something that is being given in by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. So, Paul says, I warn you, in verse 21 from Galatians chapter 5, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is the consequence. If you live like that, if you fill your life with these things, the consequence is God cannot grant you access to his kingdom. On the other hand, and that's the good side, it doesn't have to be this way. And it's not that we as Christians become completely without sin. I should hope we always strive for it, and that should always be our goal. But we fail too often. But we can change that if we fill our time, our hearts, with spiritual things. Because it says here, the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22 from chapter 5, it is love, it is joy, it is peace, it is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Oh, that's a good one, self-control. Too often we lose it in all kinds of situations, in the family situation, in traffic, in the work situation. Yet it is a fruit of the Spirit that we should control ourselves in such a way that when Moses was commanded to tell the rock, that he should tell the rock and not struck it. Because that is an ungodly behavior if we change what God says. If we do it a little bit different than what God says. God is so holy that he expects us to love him so much that we trust him completely. That whatever he says, it is good for our souls. And it doesn't matter how difficult it may be, or sometimes that we feel that it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Verse 24 says from chapter 5, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Something that is crucified has died. It should not be there anymore. Our old man, that should be far away from our life, and the new man should be there. Our desires, our passions, they should die. And instead, the will of God should be there. As Paul says in verse 25, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." So, what are we sowing in our lives? Then we know what we will be reaping. Because Paul goes on in chapter 6, verse 8, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption." Now, we don't want that. We don't want anybody to have this. But sometimes we see people and we see ourselves be deceived, and we should listen to what God has to say. God is not mocked. "But the one," he says, "who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." And it brings oftentimes in our lives that we become so burdened, that we become so tired of fighting against sin. It is so much easier not to fight against sin. It is so much easier to say, "Oh, I just do what I want to do. And I do it now, and I do it tomorrow, and I do it again and again." That is the easiest thing. And sometimes we become so weary, so depressed, because the constant struggle against sin, trying to live a holy life, that we have a tendency that we want to give up. Paul encourages the Christians, do not give up. Do not grow weary of doing good. Because there is a great reward that God will give you. A very great reward. But of course, if you are sowing in the flesh, your eyes are not focused on eternal life. If your eyes are not focused on eternal life, the only thing you hope for are the things that you see. The things that are in your heart. So, do we want to prevent that our power supply someday will fail? Then we need to take actions before it will happen. Now, our government was very foolish, because for years they knew that this moment would come, and they have not invested enough in green energy. They have not taken enough precautions to make it so that this will not happen. And now they are very troubled. Now they are very concerned. Now they are becoming in panic, because they did not take the right actions. But what they sowed in the past, they are now reaping. So, what shall we sow today? You know what you will reap in the future. And let us make it so that we will not become weary of doing good. Let us make it so, yes, if you see the Galatians in the church there, they had a lot of issues. It was not fun to be there dealing with all these controversies. But they had to deal with them. They had to stand for what was right. But they had to actually even do it in a way that was serving God and honoring God and making Him a holy God in love. And they forgot that. And they were fighting with one another. Now, we have the same problem, not only in the church, but in our personal lives too. That we will always be confronted with people who think differently, with people who do not act like they are supposed to act. And how do we? Should one come to us and say, do not be deceived? Take heed. Do not think more of yourself than you actually are. Do we always look at us in the way that God looks at us? Or have we put God somewhere separate, and that we think, well, God, what you say and think, it's not important for me? If we know some people who have done that, and we know that we sometimes do it, but the reaping of that behavior will be eternal damnation. That is a consequence that God has set forth for that action, for that attitude. But this is not our goal. Our goal is to reap eternal life. So let us make decisions that whatever we are sowing today, that it will reap eternal life in the future. Let us be diligent in how we deal with one another. Let us be diligent in how we look at ourselves. Let us be diligent and honest to ourselves that we look at ourselves as God looks to us. A most holy God looks at us. And know that He is there for us. And that His goal is to save all people. He does not want a single soul to be lost. So let that be our goal for the coming week, that we practice this behavior, this godly behavior. Amen.
Thank you, Peter.